Hey there, this is your old buddy Tom, the Toonami Operations Module. Settle in, it's about to get good. Toonami's back.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Whenever you're ready.
Welcome to the televised revolution, as we drift through outer space aboard the Absolution. With Tom back in active duty as captain, in charge of bringing superior anime action. Yeah, you came to the right place if you have a taste for animation in deep space base. Broadcast through your television due to the progress of the Bring Back Toonami Twitter mission. The same block that brought us Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z is back, so stay tuned. I remember way back, never leaving my room. I stay glued to my TV weekday afternoons. Yeah, and thanks to Adult Swim, I have a reason to use the TV in my room again. Cause every night I'll be tuning in, since they going back to showing Action Tunes again. Toonami's back. Wait, did you say Toonami's back? That's the official hashtag if you missed it, to celebrate Tom's return to television. Yeah, Toonami's back. Wait, did you say Toonami's back? That's the official hashtag if you missed it, to celebrate Tom's return to television. Welcome to the Anime Action Fan Sanctuary, with Tom providing that slick commentary.
Hey there, my Toonami generation, and welcome to a very special episode of Tom's Prerogative. This is, I guess you would say, my 90s version of an after-school special, because this is actually for a grade. Yes, yes. This is a very special episode in which I am doing it for a project. I am, of course, your primetime host, Thomas Primetime Mattis. And on this very special after-school episode, our topic is 90s animation for my writing for TV and radio class. And joining me is my lab partner and class partner. He is the craziest and illest person on MCCC. Ladies and gentlemen, Wesley.
Hey there, everyone. Hope you've been eating your sunshine and memories. I'm Wesley. Always will be.
And this is Wesley's... This is your first podcast, right?
Yes. Yes. In my life.
So, well, first, since we're at school, we can't use certain language that I would tend to use at home. But, yeah, if anybody's listened to a podcast, that means he's one of those. So, we're going to be popping some things today. And you can just let your own mind wander to that. So, as I said, today's topic today is 90s animation. Which, if you guys have heard me before, you know that's a very particular topic that I like to talk about. It's one of my favorite times of animation. What does 90s animation mean to you?
To me, well, growing up, I was always big on stuff like Dragon Tales, Sailor Moon. I was big on Ah, Real Monsters and Rugrats before they got all old and creepy. You know, I was a big fan of Rocko's Modern Life and Ren Stimpy before people realized no one should be watching Ren and Stimpy. You know, I was there for Beavis and Butthead. That's 90s for me right there.
You know, and I think more importantly, it's we grew up, you know. I'm 29 years old, but the 90s was the area that I grew up. I remember getting up in the morning to watch X-Men, the animated series, and Spider-Man. I remember watching Batman, the animated series, and pretty much I think for anybody who considers themselves a nerd for that matter, that's something that, you know, defines us. So I guess the first question is, at least in your mind, Wes, what made the 90s so good for animation?
People weren't afraid, okay? If they wanted to say something, they said it. Now, if they thought, okay, this won't get past the censors, they said it in a way where the older people watching could get it, but the younger people would not be influenced by it. They weren't afraid to take a joke to a dark place. They weren't afraid, hey, to be violent or aggressive or scary. They weren't afraid, hey, to be controversial. Oh, you know? I mean, if you really look at some of the stuff on the 90s, you're like, how did that get past anyone? Why? Because parents are kind of like, I'm pretty sure my kid is smart enough to know not to say or imitate any of this. Because I've done a good job as a parent.
Definitely you bring up a good point about the political aspect, and I absolutely agree with that. There definitely was a, we're not going to be afraid of jokes. And not, I don't even necessarily think of jokes being necessarily too adult. You know, one of my favorite jokes of the 90s that was made for adults yet kids didn't get, but as they got older, they got, was the joke from Beauty and the Beast. And mind you, we're also talking about film here, so we're, like, talking about the Disney Renaissance and that stuff. But it's from Beauty and the Beast where, you know, Beast says, you know, I want to do something for Belle, and Cogsworth goes, you know, there's flower, candy, promises you don't intend to keep. And as a kid, you don't get that joke. As you get older, you get that joke.
Like, that was actually pretty clever, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I certainly think another thing, you know, again, it was that, and it was, you know, I think animators in the 90s in particular, like Bruce Timm and the animators at Disney, had this attitude that, hey, even though we are hand-drawing this film or this television show, it's just as good, if not better, than any live-action stuff that's on television. And I think there was a real intent to prove that animation could be just as good as anything on TV.
I mean,
that was definitely a part of it.
I mean, I hate to cut it off, but like a prime example of that was the series Gargoyles, just with the main voice by my favorite Keith David, where right off the bat, they already had the gargoyles nearly killing men. And even in the flashback, they show, yeah, we can die. If we turn to stone and you smash us, that's it. And they weren't afraid to put it. It wasn't like, oh, no, they just went to another dimension or something. It was kind of like, hey, we're addressing some serious issues. Kids may not get it, but you will. And you'll get exactly what he's saying here. You'll get what someone's connection to this person was. It's not just, oh, hey, they're friends. It's like, hey, they mean a lot more to me than what we're just going to outwardly say. We understand the concept of loss. And it was just there. Now we're so afraid that someone is going to flip, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the safest thing to say, and it's one of the things I think really separates today and anything else in the past above the what the 90s was and why the 90s was so good and why it was so profitable was it was for everybody. That was at the end of the day, and everybody doesn't mean that it's childlike or that it's just made for kids. It means that it's made for everybody. There's something in there for everyone, and there's a lot of depth to it, as opposed to today, to where it's clearly made for kids. I mean, it's the reason why there's so many arguments about Teen Titans Go.
Yeah, I mean, like, in its defense, though, the writer even mentioned this is a satire of her original show, which would mean it was geared directly towards kids, but, you know,
yeah.
Why? Like, why was that necessary?
I think that's a topic. I think Teen Titans Go is a topic for another, because we could go hours on that, because I was into an argument that went, like, 40 minutes with somebody else.
Not to mention, there are things about the original version of the show that still need to be addressed that I am not over.
Yes. But, again, that shows you the power of the show. And that was, even though that was in the 2000s, that was a direct influence from the 90s.
Yeah.
Speaking of being influenced by the 90s, we are influenced by our favorite shows, by our favorite films and TV shows. So, what were your favorite 90s animations?
For me, it was definitely Gargoyles, Ah, Real Monsters. Rocko's Modern Life was probably the biggest influence in my life. Like, I would wake up at the crack of dawn just to watch an episode. I would sit there for hours on end just watching this show of this wallaby go through all these crazy adventures, which were barely contained in themselves, you know? I used to watch back when Nick would have little mini shows between their shows, you know? Like, this is that one about lunchtime and all this and the tinfoil guy. I even grew up watching Chalk Zone. You know, like Chalk Zone was also like next to Rocko's Modern Life, probably something that really just kept me going through the 90s.
Yeah. For me, yeah, I have a wide range. For me, you know, I start off with film, the Disney Renaissance, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, Aladdin, all of those. They still shape me today. They're part of the reason why I'm so focused in the animation as I am today. A lot of these shows, Gargoyles and, you know, I watched the Nicktoons, but, like, Gargoyles and all that stuff, sometimes it was hard to see. But all of, like, the Disney stuff, my favorite, bar none, was Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck. I forgot all about that.
You cannot. Has one of the best theme songs of all time.
Darkwing Duck.
Even though it was 80s, but it was still, you know, in that area. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You know, I just realized something we have both neglected to mention for the 90s. And any 90s kids worth their salt knows exactly what I'm about to say.
What?
Digimon.
Well, Digimon was there. I actually like Digimon over Pokemon. I'm actually going to get to anime in just a second. But just one more thing on America. Because we're not just talking about American animation. We're talking about animation all over the world in regards to the 90s.
During the 90s, yeah.
Batman the Animated Series. absolutely, I mean,
gorgeous.
There's a reason it's considered just one of the best TV shows, period. Forget animation or live action. And then there's Animaniacs and Freakazoid. You cannot call yourself a fan of 90s animation if you were not a fan of Animaniacs or Freakazoid.
Well,
in fact,
one of my old screen names is actually Candle Jack.
Candle. Don't worry, madam. It's just my beeper. I have it set on vibrate my bottom. Actually, you know, I want to give you guys an example of exactly what we mean by why you are a fan of Animaniacs. And ladies and gentlemen, I present to you in the form of, not Wacko, Yakko, and the country song.
Oh, yeah, where the guy sang the names of every country in one go.
Yeah. Well, better yet, better than singing ourselves, let's give them the example.
And now, the nations of the world, brought to you by Yakko Warner.
United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, Republic, Dominican, Cuba, Caribbean, Greenland, El Salvador, too, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Venezuela, Honduras, Guyana, and still, Guatemala, Bolivia, then Argentina, and Ecuador, Chile, Brazil, Costa Rica, Belize, Nicaragua, Bermuda, Bahamas, Tobago, San Juan, Paraguay, Uruguay, Suriname, and French Guiana, Barbados, and Guam. Norway and Sweden and Iceland and Finland and Germany now one piece. Switzerland, Austria, Czechoslovakia, Italy, Turkey and Greece. Poland, Romania, Scotland, Albania, Ireland, Russia, Oman, Bulgaria, Saudi Arabia, Hungary, Cyprus, Iraq and Iran. There's Syria, Lebanon, Israel, Jordan, both Yemen, Kuwait and Bahrain. The Netherlands, Luxembourg, Belgium and Portugal, France, England, Denmark and Spain.
Yes, folks, that was the country song. That's why we loved Animaniacs.
Like, it was really remarkable. And apparently, the thing that baffled everyone that was in that room was the fact that he did it on his first take. Without pausing, without help, without editing. Yeah. So everyone's just like, this man is an artist.
Yes, it is. You know, again, voice actors became very big. That and, of course, and also the other 90s that I'll leave off, and that is anime. That I got into anime in the 90s. So I look at things like Ninja Slayers. I look at things like Byabusa Armor Giver. Everybody says Dragon Ball and putting all that stuff, but when I think of the quintessential 90s anime, I think of one thing and only, Gundam Wing. Really? I am an anime fan today because of Gundam Wing. Wonderful animation, great story and everything, and then of course, I mean, I call it Mecha. To those not in the know, they call it Giant Robots. But, yeah, I mean, so popular that Linkin Park, one of the biggest bands in the world, is a fan of Gundam because of Gundam Wing, so.
I've never had the opportunity to watch much of it, but one thing I could definitely say I did like from what I saw, it was giant robots with even bigger guns fighting other giant robots. Yeah. There was no downside to this viewing.
Yeah. So I think there isn't many downsides to 90s, and I think that's a good segue into our final topic, which is, you know, I think we made mention that we miss a lot of stuff from the 90s. So, what from the 90s would you like to see brought back? Whether it be, you know, something they did on a technical aspect in animation, or just maybe a show you'd like to see brought back?
Well, on both of those, one, I would like to see a little more courage, and I don't just mean the Cowardly Dog, though that's something they should just let stay. I feel like they should start emphasizing once again just having the guts to put what you want as your content for your show. I mean, Amazing World of Gumball has taken the first few steps. Adventure Time has taken the first few steps. Really need to get back to that. But I would like to see Spawn come back, actually. I mean, that was something that entered the 90s and then was just discontinued. And, I mean, had one of the greatest voice actors for animation, which was Keith David. It had a great story, and it was just
keeps coming back to Keith David. And I completely agree with it, too.
Keith David, I think, is just a hero for the 90s. Like, this guy had the voice. No matter what role you wanted to give him, he was there. I mean, they even have some characters who are styled after Keith David. Like, the Fire King in Adventure Time, his voice is meant to be an homage to Keith David.
For good reason.
like, aside from that, I would like it if they brought back Rocco, you know? I would like it if they brought back the original Rugrats continuously. And I think it's time for the return of Ren and Stimpy.
Again?
Uncensored. Like, I think it's time.
Well, unfortunately, you can get that stuff on Hulu, and so that's, I guess, the question for it. I guess things that I would want to bring back is, I completely agree with you on Courage, but let me add to that. Have the courage to have variety, and for the stockholders, for everybody in the company, to have courage in the fact of realizing that you have this mass market, and you can draw people to your network. Yeah. My biggest issue with Teen Titans Go and Adventure Time and Gumball is, I get it. There are people that like that show. I don't like it, and part of the reason is that they're all three of these shows are the same, and pretty much everything on Cartoon Network and everything on Nickelodeon is the same. Well, you don't understand. Mind you, I have people telling me, like, well, you don't understand. They have a target demographic, and I'm like, no, you don't understand. It's like, they used to target everybody, and they would understand that different times they could get different groups of people. Yeah. And even if they weren't necessarily number one, they still made a profit because they would take away, and that was part of their fan base.
They knew the Dexter fan base may not necessarily also be a Powerpuff Girl fan base, which may not also be a El Kabonk fan base.
What I want to take from the 90s most of all is I want us to go back to the mindset that not just children are watching animation, that everybody is.
Yeah.
And anime, you know, we've gone back to that, we call it the age ghetto that we put animation in, that, you know, animation is either, it's changed from what it used to be that animation is just for kids, and now it's looked upon as, you know, animation is either just for kids or just for adults.
Yeah, that's, actually part of why I have a lot of respect for what the writers of Adventure Time and Gumball do, is because what they started doing is, first they started out with this really cheesy kid-like show, and then as it went on, they made more money, they began starting to sort of twist it to, if you're an adult, you get actually how messed up this thing is. And it's kind of like, it's a shame that this show wouldn't have lasted on the air if they didn't start the way they did by making it something really cheesy and dumb. It's like, they should just be allowed to go, hey, here's our show.
And the last thing I'll sit here and say is, I would love to see a return to hand-drawn animation. Even, oh, yeah. I mean, even if it's with the assistant computers, I don't care about that. I just hate how everything is CG. If you really look at the
Naruto went straight to CG halfway through the series.
If you look at the statistics, there is no proof at all that CG is cheaper than hand-drawn. The only difference that comes down to is time.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that's your point right there. I'm like, well, but that's my point, is that really it's all about how quick they get the product out, and just because they get it out quick doesn't make it good.
Yeah.
So
I mean, not to mention, it's like, okay, so you have this, you know, rapidly paced CGI TV show.
Yeah.
Okay, it lasts a certain while, you got to expand it, and eventually it goes under. You have a hand-drawn show. Maybe it updates its episodes once every 3 months, you know? But that's fine. Know why? Because everyone's sitting there with this huge fan base now, and they're like, yeah, I can sit through this. It looks great. But we are becoming oversaturated with CGI. Like, I can go to a movie, any movie they've released recently, and I can just spot the CGI now. Yeah. My eyes have now attuned to just spotting where the difference in animation is.
Yeah, and just to leave it at this, the biggest reason for me is that hand-drawn has a specific soul. The reason they're using CG is to try to imitate hand-drawn, not to be CG. And that's the thing right there. You can't imitate hand-drawn. So that's it for this very special episode of Tom's Prerogative. I hope you guys enjoyed this. Any last words, Wes?
Yes. I'm actually starting my own podcast very soon. It is called Chaos Control, for all of you MTG fans out there. So keep an eye out.
Because we are known for nothing here on Tom's Prerogative but helping people pimp their own projects.
Pimp away. Got my hat in there.
And for those who don't know, pimpage is a podcasting term for promoting. just in case anybody's listening to this and like, what's this pimping all about? So thank you, Wes, for joining me, obviously, because we needed to get the grade.
I was also happy to be here. It's good practice.
Yes. So I'm Thomas Mattis, and for Wes, I would like to remind you all of the Toonami generation.
It's gonna get too dangerous for you.
Stay golden.
about does her. Hope you enjoyed it. This is Tom, signing off. And until we meet again, you know the rest.